Have you ever prayed for something and gotten exactly what you asked for, just not in the package you expected? That's how Chris Kyle walked into my life. After years of dating disappointments and career success that felt hollow, I surrendered. I prayed for someone kind, someone real. No checklist of requirements, just nice. Weeks later, in a Coronado bar filled with Navy SEALs, I met a man who would become America's most lethal sniper and the love of my life. Our first meeting was mortifying. Too much scotch left me sick, yet Chris still drove 2 hours from San Diego to Long Beach just to see me again. He was everything I never knew I needed. A warrior who wrote love letters, an adrenaline junkie who cherished quiet moments together. 5 months in, when I nervously asked about our future, his answer was perfect. I love you, and I don't want to spend a day of my life without you. After 9/11 shattered our sense of security, I impulsively suggested marriage. What followed was possibly the world's most awkward proposal, but it was ours, complete with my grandmother's diamond and inscribed wedding bands promising forever. Picture Chris sitting in his Yukon on deployment day, sunglasses hiding tears, not from fear of dying, but fear I wouldn't be there when he returned. That's the hidden cost of loving a warrior. Every goodbye carries weight most marriages never know. During his first deployment, I sent Polaroid photos in lingerie, requiring my sister's help and liquid courage. The real challenge wasn't maintaining romance across oceans, it was managing terror disguised as normalcy. After Chris mentioned helicopter training, he went silent just as news broke about a special forces crash. I spent an entire day in panic until his "Hey, sexy" finally came through. I learned to hide my worry during our precious calls. Showing fear might distract him when focus meant survival. What I didn't know until years later, during that first deployment, surrounded by Iraqi forces and down to his last ammunition, Chris called believing he was about to die. His voice stayed calm. "Hey babe, just calling to tell you I love ya. Gotta go 'cause a bunch of guys are waiting to use the phone." I had no idea I was hearing what he thought would be his final words. 18 hours of labor without an epidural, my low platelet count made it impossible, taught me that some battles you fight alone. Chris stayed through every contraction, then surprised me by handling midnight diaper changes without complaint. We made sure Bubba's first touch outside the hospital was Texas soil. Those early months felt stolen from time, blissful despite knowing deployment loomed. I obsessively documented every milestone, sending packages to a father fighting in Fallujah. Meanwhile, Chris earned the nickname Legend for sniper skills that saved countless Marines. The irony wasn't lost. While I worried about everyday baby dangers, Chris became the Devil of Ramadi with a $60,000 bounty on his head. When Angel arrived, the first Kyle family girl in 80 years, postpartum depression hit hard. I clawed back by pushing both kids in a double stroller during daily runs. But our marriage was changing. Each homecoming required recalibration. Each deployment left Chris with a shorter temper, anger closer to the surface. War was walling off the man I married. Critics who claimed snipers fought unfairly never understood Ramadi's hell. Snipers were prime targets, not distant observers. During Chris's third deployment in 2006, he operated from small outposts in the city's most dangerous areas, quickly earning his 100th kill and such notoriety that insurgents posted his picture throughout Ramadi. Among his closest friends were Mark Lee, an athletic intellectual who'd abandoned professional soccer for service, and Ryan Job, the platoon's good-natured comedian who proved absolutely dependable under fire. In August 2006, Ryan was shot in the head. When intelligence revealed the attacker's location, the platoon mounted a revenge operation. During that mission, Mark Lee died warning others about danger. When Chris called with the news, his voice conveyed pure pain, a sound I'd never heard before. By his fourth deployment, Chris was breaking down. Multiple tours had destroyed his knees and hearing, eventually earning him a 90% disability classification. When missions decreased, his health deteriorated further, surging blood pressure, insomnia, constant chest tightness. In his own words, "I felt like curling up in the corner and crying. When I could sleep, it was nightmares. The warrior was crumbling, and I was thousands of miles away, helpless." Transitioning from warrior to civilian nearly destroyed us. Despite 2 silver stars, 5 bronze stars with valor, and numerous medals, Chris struggled. His training company limped along, our California house wouldn't sell, and living in someone else's mansion, he started drinking heavily and stopped exercising. One night, he suggested we might not work out. That weekend, him hunting, me researching marriage help, we reflected separately. Upon his return, we had the conversation that saved our marriage. I committed to making changes. We both renewed our focus on each other. Marriage isn't about never falling apart. It's about choosing to rebuild together. Writing American Sniper was never about seeking attention. Chris initially resisted, but eventually collaborated with Scott McEwen and Jim DeFelice to tell his story authentically. The book presented his humble, raw voice, emphasizing that lives saved mattered more than confirmed kills. At his first Dallas book signing, people filled 2 floors of Barnes & Noble. Chris told nervous fans, "Waiting all that time and come to find out there's just another redneck up here." The book debuted at number 2 on the New York Times bestseller list before rising to number 1, staying there for over 2 months and translating into 24 languages. Fame never changed him. He remained the man who'd rather help a struggling veteran than attend another media event. That Saturday began ordinarily. Basketball with the kids, then errands. While I went to the mall, Chris headed to a shooting range with our friend Chad Littlefield and Eddie Routh, a troubled veteran Chris had agreed to help. Our goodbye was routine, "I love you" and a kiss. I drove away planning our evening birthday dinner, unaware it would be our last moment together. When hours passed without response to my texts, worry crept in. Then a police car arrived. My friend Mark's questions sent ice through my veins. Chris was dead. My deepest fear as a SEAL wife had materialized when danger was supposed to be behind us. The next morning, I sat our children on the lawn and told them their daddy was hurt. Angel immediately asked if he was dead. When I nodded, she let out a gut-wrenching cry while Bubba's eyes filled with tears. They asked heartbreaking questions about why doctors couldn't give him another heart. How do you explain senseless violence to children who've already sacrificed so much? Clinical depression trapped me in a darkness beyond sadness, a chemical depletion no positive thinking could overcome. I resisted help until a doctor said, "If you had diabetes and needed insulin, you'd take the medicine without question." I started antidepressants and counseling. Working on the American Sniper movie became therapy. Jason Hall and I spent hundreds of hours discussing Chris's life, grief, and loss. On Veterans Day 2014, we launched the Chris Kyle Frog Foundation to serve military and first responder families, communities where divorce rates exceed 80%. During a psychiatric visit, my doctor questioned why I still wore my wedding ring. Later, a SEAL friend told me, "A team guy's biggest fear is that he'll die and his wife will never let herself be loved again." I realized continued suffering wasn't honoring Chris. I moved the ring to my right hand, recognizing he was gone, while symbolizing our lasting love. Recently, Angel shared recordings from her memory box toy. Her happiest memory was riding a roller coaster with her dad. When asked what makes her sad, she said, "I miss my dad," yet her voice remained positive and grateful. The lesson? You don't know what the future holds, but you can choose how you face it. Chris's legacy lives through the lives he touched, showing that even in darkness, love and purpose can guide us forward.